Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American.
Hello, America. This is Todd Starnes. Welcome to the program, your place for truth and hope in America, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. What an honor to have you joining us today. If you would like to be a part of the show, all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. Our number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. So I want to start with a couple of stories that have been percolating, and the first one comes from our friends over at Daily Wire, and they really just do a terrific job. There is a hospital in Minnesota, and this hospital, they seem to be very good. Management seems to be really good, and they want to take care of their staff and make sure that, you know, they appreciate the hard work. And man, the nurses, I think, have the hardest job in the entire hospital because they have to put up with your sorry butt when you're there complaining about not getting enough ice cream and whatnot. So anyway, St. Mary's Medical Center in Minnesota, they wanted to do something nice for the staff. So they said, you know what? We're going to call up the local Chick-fil-A and we're going to feed the medical staff at St. Mary's Medical Center a delicious free Chick-fil-A lunch. Yum. That sounds tasty. Well, it turns out, though, some of the staff members, not only are they hardworking and dedicated, but many of them are perpetually offended snowflakes and, quite frankly, jerks. And they complained about getting the Chick-fil-A lunch for free. So it got so bad that the parent company of this medical center, St. Mary's Medical Center, they actually issued an email apologizing for serving the staff this free lunch, this complimentary lunch. This is from Tammy Kreitzer. She is the Senior Vice President for Regional Operations at Ascensia Healthcare. Quote, we have received feedback from some colleagues who were concerned or offended by this occurrence. By the way, the occurrence is the free lunch. And we value colleagues feeling comfortable expressing their reservations. Now, instead of telling the offended staffers to eat their free meal and stuff it, the hospital apologized. And it was not just an apology. This was a profuse, like, you know, we just T-boned your car kind of an apology. Oopsie. The hospital said they failed to abide by its values of respect and justice. Okay, it's a freaking Chick-fil-A sandwich. Kreitzer went on to say, we would like to thank our colleagues who had the courage to speak up and to widen our lens of inclusivity. And we appreciate all colleagues continuing to live our values and respect our justice. We're talking about a sandwich, for crying out loud. So the Daily Wire did a deep dive here, and they're reporting that the staffers came down with a raging case of the woke-roids because Chick-fil-A is owned by a Christian company, and they follow the teachings of the Holy Bible. They accused Chick-fil-A of donating money to anti-gay charities. And I thought to myself, geez, Lou, what are they talking about here? I know Dan Cathy, I know his wife, I know the Cathy family, and I know some of them are a little squirrely, but most of them are still pretty good, decent conservative folks. And if you've been to a Chick-fil-A restaurant, I mean, the food's pretty darn good. I know they tried to do that nonsense with the kale stuff, and that didn't work out. And they got rid of the pimento cheese and, you know, the delicious chicken salad. But still, it's a good place to go grab some food. The people are always friendly. You're going to find a lot of homeschool families there eating lunch. And people are just genuinely happy at the Chick-fil-A. So I did some research, and it turns out that the alphabet activist, that would be the L, the G, the B, the T, the I, the A, and all the other, I don't know, all of them. We could be here for 30 hours, so I don't mean to. If you're a part of that alphabet activist community, I'm not intentionally trying to leave you out. It's just a lot going on, and they name new genders and sexes every day now. But anyway, they took offense. Because Chick-fil-A donates money, and by the way, this is a private company, so they're donating their own personal money to anti-gay hate groups like the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. These people are insane. The hospital goes on with, we respect all, we are honored to serve and employ. And situations such as these are an important reminder to consider all viewpoints. As we strive to be thoughtful and inclusive as an organization, we will have learnings along the way. In the words of Maya Angelou, when we know better, we do better. Thank you for giving us grace as we work to be better together. You know what they ought to do? The next time they do one of these things, they ought to just throw out a loaf of white bread and bologna and say, have at it, you ungrateful heathens. How dare you attack the official chicken of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How dare you? So anyway, I want to set the record straight because there is, you know, they accuse, and this all goes back to years ago when Dan Cathy, the owner of Chick-fil-A, said that he believes marriage is between a man and a woman. And I want to illustrate how you can never apologize to these woke idiots. And here's the reason why. Dan Cathy, years later, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with believing that marriage is between a man and a woman. All right? For most of humanity, that's the way it's been. So a few years after that, because it was after the George Floyd stuff, and they had poor Dan Cathy, and he was on a panel with, it's not LeBron, it's Lecrae. Lecrae, he's the Christian rap artist and woke activist. This guy is a lefty, Lecrae. Yeah, I listen to some of his music. I'm just not a rap guy. It's hard for me to understand the words. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, and I know it's Christian. What is Christian rap? Is that the stuff without the cursing? Because when you take out the curse words, there's really not a heck of a lot left to rap. I'm just saying. So anyway, I'm going to get off on a tangent here. But I don't understand rap music. And it's not because I know it's not a cultural thing. I'm just trying to, I like to be able to understand what, you know, what the singers are singing or rapping. Now, back in the 80s, in the early days of like rap and hip hop, that was actually cool because you could understand what the people were saying. But now you can't. And I remember when Hamilton, the musical, came out on Broadway. You guys remember that? And it was like huge. And so anyway, I took some friends and we decided, all right, we're going to go. We had family in town and we were going to go to, I was going to go take them to see Hamilton. They wanted to go see Hamilton. Now, you should know that the tickets to see Hamilton, when a show is hot, that means the ticket prices are insanely outrageous. But I was trying to, I got the family coming in and, you know, they really wanted to see Hamilton. So I forked over the money for the tickets. And I don't want to tell you how many, Dieter, you're going to be stunned by this. There were five Stearns family members who wanted to go see Hamilton. And each ticket was about $1,000 a piece. And you know what I did? I left at intermission because I couldn't understand a blessed thing they were. I couldn't understand a single thing. So I'm in the lobby of this. I didn't go back in. I'm like, I can't. I'm there with about three or four other people that were male, about my age, that were in the lobby, and we were all of the same opinion. We don't know what the heck that's all about. But the rest of the family loved it. They had a great time, and they, you know, were, you know, doing the beatbox. I don't know, whatever they do. Anyway, back to the story here. So Dan Canty was sharing a stage with the Christian rapper known as Lecrae. And you know how the Bible, there are Baptists, all right? And there are different kinds of Baptists. Have you ever heard of a foot-washing Baptist? And so these are people that like to wash your feet. It's like a church thing. It's in the Bible. And to be perfectly honest, it's a little weird. All right? That's not me. I don't speak in tongues, and I don't wash feet. I don't handle snakes. That's not my denomination. And I'm not judging you if you do. More power to you. But anyway, Dan Canty was trying to repent for his whiteness. Now, Dan Canty has never been offensive to black people. He's never, you know, cursed at them or used naughty language that only rappers are allowed to use. He never did any of that. He was simply apologizing for his own whiteness. And so he wanted to basically, it's weird. He wanted to wash his feet, basically. But he shined his sneakers instead. And I don't know, it didn't go over as everybody thought it was, that you had this white guy bending at the knee of Lecrae, shining Lecrae's sneakers. And Dan Canty was ridiculed for that. I mean, the man was coming at it from a pure heart, I guess. It was just kind of weird. The whole thing was weird. But the point is, an apology is never good enough. They want to destroy you. I mean, that's really what this is all about. They want to destroy Chick-fil-A. So this will go on forever and ever and ever. There's no evidence. And I went back and looked. I investigated all of this. There's no evidence ever that Chick-fil-A has ever discriminated against a black person, has discriminated against a member of the LGBTQIA+, EFG, HIJK, LMNOP, QRSTUZ community. Never. It's been their pleasure to feed everybody chicken. So if you're offended by the presence of the official chicken of Jesus Christ, you need to check yourself into the hospital, folks, because there's something wrong with your head. But I will say this. There's something wrong with a culture where you have to issue an apology for feeding people lunch. This is the kind of stuff that led to Donald J. Trump being elected president of these great United States. And it's going to take a little bit of time. Because we have a woke generation now in the workforce, the millennials, and Lord love them, not all of them, but Lord love them, they are woke as the day is long. That's what they were taught, that's what they were learned, that's what they were brainwashed with, and it's going to take some time to flush all of that out of our national system. But it is coming, and the only way that's going to happen is if we get in and abolish the Department of Education and retake control of our local schools. That is the only way to fix what is broken with America. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on right now. You've got the border crisis. We've got to handle that. And Trump is a multitasker. He can handle multiple problems. But understand, the people that Donald Trump wants on his cabinet, these are not policymakers. These are people that he's putting into these positions that will follow his directions. That's what he needs. We don't need an administration of policymakers. We need an administration of people that are going to go in there with sledgehammers and tear down the federal government as we know it and rebuild it the way our founding fathers intended. And when we do that, you're going to be able to go to St. Mary's Medical Center, and you're going to be able to work there, and you're going to be able to enjoy a delicious Chick-fil-A sandwich, and instead of being triggered, you're going to look at that Chick-fil-A staffer, and you're going to be able to look at your boss and say, God bless you. Thank you for being kind. Bunch of morons. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. The story of MyPillow is a testament to faith and transformation. Mike Lindell, once battling addiction, found a new path when he embraced faith and began following Jesus. In gratitude, Mike is excited to share an exclusive offer with our listeners. Right now, the standard MyPillow is available for just $14.88, a savings that's too good to pass up. There's a limit of 10 per customer, so don't wait to take advantage of this amazing deal now with promo code STARNS. Mike believes God gave him the idea for MyPillow in a dream, and it's designed with your comfort in mind. The pillow holds its shape and adapts perfectly to your unique sleep position, helping keep your neck aligned for the best night's sleep. And there's more. Take home a four-piece kitchen set for only $25. Enjoy the new mattress topper at $99.99 or pick up the luxurious MyPillow bed sheet starting at $49.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock huge discounts. Don't miss out. Order today. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And a very interesting story. We've got an update. So there was a flower shop. We told you about this flower shop. And the owner of the flower shop came out and announced that that she would no longer do business with anyone who voted for Trump. And so we shared that story. It has gone viral. Millions of people around the country responding. So for the past 2 weeks, the business has been temporarily closed. And now the owner is pushing back. And she shared a series of messages. Ben Dieter sent these to me just a few moments ago. And anyway, my question is, should you do business at a... Well, first, should you do business at a place that hates you? Basically, I guess that's the question, because she doesn't want your business. But now she's claiming that she is the victim. She's saying that she's getting death threats. And she played some video for one of the local TV stations alleging, or she posted these on her Instagram, alleging she's getting death threats. I would question whether or not those are coming from conservatives. Because conservatives, we don't do that kind of stuff. We don't do the death threats. We don't threaten people. We are happy warriors. The Constitution gives you the right to be a bigot. Anyway, here's what she wrote. Last week, I publicly stated I would not do flowers for an event celebrating Trump's election. I went on to state that I did not want to do business with anyone who voted for Trump. Oh, by the way, now she says she's going to sue. We don't know who she's going to sue or why, but she's planning on suing. Is she going to sue the customers because they won't go to her shop? I mean, she's the one who told them, don't come to my store. I'm just asking. The majority of you showed support and stood with me in solidarity, for which I am deeply grateful. A few of you kindly expressed your disappointment. However, others called me names, and some even issued threats. I do admit I was reacting out of anger and betrayal. I could not believe my community chose financial concerns and economy over human rights and decency. So she's going right back to attacking everybody. Jeez, hello. I assure you that I have reflected on the fact that it is unjust to deny anyone service based on their gender, religion, sexual orientation, or race. Really? Have you really done that, ma'am? Because it doesn't sound like you have, but I don't know. We are increasingly committed to upholding these values and will be dedicating additional energy and resources to champion and support them. We will continue to use vendors that align with these values and promote these businesses in the shop. If these values do not resonate with you, it may be best to seek a florist or shop that aligns more closely with your values, or one that is indifferent to them. And then she goes on. I mean, it's a very wordy thing. So look, here's my take on it. I wish these people nothing but the best. They don't want my business, and I'm good with that. So just knock yourself out. We're conservatives. We don't like hanging around pansies anyway. So nor daffodils for that matter. No, I think they're lovely flowers. But what I'm saying here is I don't necessarily want to be around people that don't want my business. Now, if I had never known anything about this and I had gone, I'm sure she puts lovely flower displays together and charges out the wazoo. I get that. But why would you go out of your way to say you hate Trump supporters and you don't want their business, and then all of a sudden you're complaining when you got no business? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we do have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
All right, and I can confirm through my sources on Capitol Hill that former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz has officially withdrawn his nomination to be Attorney General. Again, this news just breaking, and we've got full details up on the website, ToddStearns.com. Again, Gaetz withdrawing his nomination. And I want to read to you the statement. And again, we have this at ToddStearns.com. So head over to the website and you can read it for yourself. Gaetz says, I had excellent meetings with senators yesterday. I appreciate their thoughtful feedback and the incredible support of so many. While the momentum was strong, it is clear my confirmation was unfairly becoming a distraction to the critical work of the Trump-Vance transition. There is no time to waste on a needlessly protracted Washington scuffle. Thus, I will be withdrawing my name from consideration to serve as Attorney General. Trump's DOJ must be in place and ready on day one. I remain fully committed to see that Donald Trump is the most successful president in history. I will forever be honored the president nominated me to lead the Department of Justice, and I'm certain he will save America. So, again, this is something of a huge shock and jaw-dropping that Matt Gaetz would be pulling out of the nomination here. And I'm not quite sure why now. What? This is, look, many of you know that I'm not a big fan of Matt Gaetz, but that is irrelevant. This is the guy that Trump wanted, and this is the guy that we have to support. But clearly something happened, and we know for a fact that a lot of information from the ethics report was being leaked, and I suspect it was Republicans doing the leaking. So they didn't want Gaetz. But again, if all of this is untrue, if all of the allegations surrounding Matt Gaetz are untrue, why not just fight the good fight? Because we knew all of this before he was nominated. So this is all very, very odd, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But here's what this tells me, is that the Republican rhinos in the Senate were going to shoot down the nomination. Somebody in the Trump transition team counted the numbers, and they counted the votes, and they realized they didn't have the votes. So I can't believe that Matt Gaetz would do this on his own. He was told to withdraw. Now, here's what's interesting. He's already resigned from Congress. So now Matt Gaetz is out in the cold. Matt Gaetz is no longer in Congress. He's no longer going to be a member of the Trump administration, at least not the attorney general. We're taking your reactions to this. Was this the right move to make? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So there are going to be a lot of moving parts here, folks. But I am telling you right now, the deep state hates Matt Gaetz. So do a lot of Republicans. The rhinos, they can't stand him. They hate him. And I understand, Ben Dieter, you've got a theory about how all of this played out. So, Dieter, curious to hear what your theory is.
I'm just wondering if this guy has been a lightning rod for Republicans, that this was a way to off-ramp him. So they found a golden opportunity with a big old parachute. And with Trump appointing him as AG, it's a fine line for the former president and president-elect Donald Trump to walk, because he's pro-Matt Gaetz. With an appointment of this magnitude at the same time, they kind of knew that this was going to be the outcome all along, that there was no shot he actually was going to get the vote. And now the president can wash his hands clean and walk away.
Is it possible? You have to remember back, Trump said that he and Mike Johnson, little Mikey, the House Speaker, that they had a secret. Mm-hmm. They had a secret that was going to make everything work out. Now, Matt Gaetz was a thorn in the side to the entire House, both sides, no doubt about it. Whether you agree or disagree, he was a thorn. So is it possible that Trump may have offed his own guy here? Because you know Trump had to have signed off
on this. Trump was playing the 4D chess all along.
Maybe.
I thought that Matt Gaetz would be more cunning than that, because I have seen these theories being floated around that this was President Trump's plan. This is how we take care of a, let's just say it, he was the problem child for the House of Representatives. And this was a way for President Trump to get Matt to go away very quietly while also still looking like he's supporting this potential AG pick.
So the question now is, who's going to be the new pick? That's going to be the big kick.
And also, Todd, we have to think about how slim our majority is in the House, because that is going to be an open seat that there will be a challenger to run for. Now, Senate seats are different. The governor can go in and pick. So Marco Rubio, his seat's open. The governor, Governor DeSantis, can go in and say, I want this person to fill that. Congressional seats and the House are very different. Someone is now going to have to run for that seat. So that's going to open up and there will be a Democrat.
So this was very puzzling to me, and I knew something was up with how Gaetz handled all of this. So, for example, Rubio was nominated, right? He is still the sitting United States Senator, and he will be the sitting United States Senator until he is confirmed, and then he will resign his post in the Senate. Matt Gaetz didn't do that. He just immediately quit, and he quit the day before the ethics report was supposedly going to be released. And quitting Congress prevented that document from being released. Mm-hmm. So that was an odd thing that he would have just up and quit.
Because why do that? Because now he's out of a job. He's not the AG, and he's also not the congressman anymore. Unless they had something on him that he really had no option but to say, okay, goodbye.
You see, until there are criminal charges filed, this is really on the media, and this is what really gets me about the national media. There was a time in this country, believe it or not, where we actually had a pretty decent news corps, press corps. And if there was an allegation made against somebody, that was never reported. What was reported is when someone was arrested once they found the evidence and a charge was filed. But now all you have to do to get the attention of the mainstream media is make an accusation. They take that as the God's honest truth. And then it becomes the story, as opposed to waiting and seeing if charges are going to be filed.
But you said this on X today, Todd. All of these nominations are going to get the Brett Kavanaugh treatment. It's a testament to their political willpower and their ability to fight off those attacks. You're seeing what's happening to Pete Hegseth. You're going to see these attacks against RFK Jr. and also Matt Gaetz. Was Matt able to withstand the Brett Kavanaugh treatment? And I guess, I don't know if this is him saying, I can't deal with the firestorm around me. But
I would find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's been out there and he's been fighting these accusations and allegations. Now, the issue does become, okay, fine. if he really was paying all these hundreds of girls, or let's say dozens of girls, and it was all on the up and up, does that still cause issues for him? And I think somebody did the math at Mar-a-Lago, and they said this is not going to work.
So now we have to look at the deputy pick. Is that going to be the person that it, or is it a completely new wild card in the Uno deck?
Well, it could be. I mean, there are a lot of good people out there who, but Trump needs somebody who will literally go in and blow it all up. Mm-hmm. And Matt Gaetz would have done that. But again, for whatever reason, and we will get the lowdown here, you know, it'll start trickling out momentarily. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Patty from WSIC, Statesville, North Carolina. Patty, are you surprised here?
No, I am not surprised. I believe, you remember a couple of years ago, Todd, and you probably do. Do you remember Matt Gaetz wanted to date Tiffany?
Oh, God.
Tiffany Trump?
Yes. This is a couple of years ago, before she got married, and Donald Trump was not having it.
I like this. This is like the family drama.
I'm going to tell you something. This is Donald Trump knows what he's doing. He wants to get, you're right, Vin, the problem child out of there. And he's not, by not really hurting his feelings, he's going to have other people hurt his feelings.
Yep.
Well, it could have been. And whatever happened, and again, you know, this whole idea of him being a distraction, we knew that before he was nominated, which is what shocked everybody. So, and again, Trump just, what was it, yesterday, they asked Trump as he was walking somewhere, getting on board a plane, you know, are you rethinking the Gaetz nomination? And he said no.
Yes, he said no. But he kept on walking. He never stopped. He kept on walking. He knows what he's doing. I think the perfect guy would be Ken Paxton.
Oh, from the Attorney General of the great state of Texas, who is a solid pick. He's comes with his own baggage, but Paxton would be a good guy.
Yeah, I like Ken Paxton a lot, Todd. I think he would be great. And he won that case in Texas. Remember they went against him? He won, you know? I mean, Matt Gaetz, I like the guy. The guy's a big Trump supporter, too. You know how he is.
Huge.
Huge. But I think there's something he wants to get him out of the way. I think, you know who's going to be stepping into the limelight a lot?
Watch
for Lara Trump.
Mm. Well, she.
Trump.
There's been a lot of talk about her as the replacement for Rubio. I'm not sure DeSantis. It's ultimately DeSantis's decision. If he passes over Lara Trump, that will be the end of any relationship with the Trump world.
Right, but you know, I'm telling you, there's a lot of drama. But this is all in the making. They want Gaetz out. They want him out, Todd.
All right, Patty, we got you. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Connor in Boston. Connor, you're on the air with me and Ben. What's your take on this?
Well, I'll tell you guys, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Kevin McCarthy behind all of this. Kevin McCarthy is a rhino. Kevin McCarthy was, if you remember, forced out by a charge led by Matt Gaetz. And I wouldn't put it past him to try to retaliate in this form.
So you think Kevin McCarthy may have killed Gaetz's nomination?
It wouldn't surprise me if he was involved in this somehow, if he was like involved with the leakers, quite frankly.
All right, Connor. Yeah, that could be. I would not be surprised if McCarthy was somehow involved in this. But he's been out there saying a lot worse than what has come out already on the leaked documents. I mean, he's basically calling him a pedophile. It's insane.
You know, I agree, but it's just like when it comes to the way that went down, you know, when it comes to the rhinos, they will stop at nothing to get back to somebody who shivved them, quite frankly.
Oh,
so, yeah,
no doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, Connor, thanks for calling in. Dieter, this will be explosive, but what it also does is it takes the attention off of the other nominees. But the reality is, when you look at Hegseth, every single one of these nominees is going to go through the Bork-Kavanaugh thing. That's going to happen. And so that's why early on, I said that when you are asked to serve, you better make sure there's nothing in your closet. If there is, you have to tell the transition team so they can determine, okay, this is a big deal. Yeah, we don't want you. Or this is not a big deal. Thank you for telling us, and we can deal with this.
Yeah, well, the New York Times had a piece out this morning, and it was talking about it was a big old shot of four of Trump's picks. Now, they say in the headline, it was splashed across the front page of their website, all of these four men have sexual assaults stacking up against them. Yeah, did you see that?
I saw that.
Elon Musk, Pete Hegseth, you have RFK Jr., and then Matt Gaetz. I guess we just have to see which ones are willing to fight it and fight it to the earth's core, like we saw with Brett Kavanaugh, because ultimately Brett prevailed. So will Pete be able to prevail? Will RFK Jr. be? It's going to get crazy and ugly before it gets better in January, Todd.
All right. We will, as folks, as the show goes on today, this is going to be the big story, and we'll be keeping track of what's happening, checking in with our sources. And by the way, I can tell you, here's how crazy it is. We had scheduled the chair of the House Freedom Caucus for the Newsmax TV show. Just got a call. Guess who canceled? So they're going to be circling the wagons here on this story. And I do wonder, though, if Matt Gaetz's enemies, and there were a lot of them up on Capitol Hill, they just conspired against him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hang tight. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. We're going to your calls. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I love the product because I'm already here at almost 80 knocking on my door. When I started taking Balance of Nature, I'm telling you, it wasn't a month after that, maybe 2 months after that, I started really feeling the difference.
I love Balance of Nature. I will take it to the day I die. It's wonderful. I feel so much better. I'm telling everybody about it. And I just feel better. I mean, it's just amazing how much better I feel on this stuff. I got excited about the product because I started feeling better. They asked me, does it work? I said, yes, it works. You got to try it. It will work.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
All right, let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Hey, Charles, your reaction to this breaking news. Matt Gaetz is out.
Well, I hate to see it, but I'm not surprised. And, Todd, just like you, I think the Republican rhinos are behind this. But, Todd, I have a suggestion for a replacement. You know, one would be Mike Davis, who's the head of Article 3 Project, but a second and less controversial pick, and someone that I think would be equally as vigilant in going after the deep state, would be Dan Bishop, congressman here in North Carolina, who's going out in January. He ran for attorney general here in North Carolina, but was defeated in November, primarily solely because of his opponent attached him to Mark Robinson. But Dan Bishop was one of the few people that voted against Kevin McCarthy. He's shown that he'll stand up to the deep state, and I think he would be just as passionate about cleaning up the DOJ as Matt Gaetz would without all the baggage.
Charles, good thoughts there, and let me let you go because we do have a statement coming in from Trump, so I appreciate you calling in, and that's a great thought. Charles are recommending Dan Bishop of North Carolina. Here's the thing, folks. It doesn't make sense unless they struck a deal to put Gaetz in the Senate. Otherwise, none of this really makes any sense at all. So, look, President Trump, just a few moments ago, releasing a statement on X, and pretty straightforward here, and not much to read into. I greatly appreciate the recent efforts of Matt Gaetz in seeking approval to be attorney general. He was doing very well, but at the same time did not want to be a distraction for the administration, for which he has much respect. Matt has a wonderful future. I look forward to watching all of the great things he will do. So based on this, Gaetz is gone because he gave up his seat in the House. and he's out. So now we will wait to see who President Trump has next. Is it possible that part of this was exposing the rhinos up on Capitol Hill, using this maybe fake nomination to see who's with the president and who's against the president in the U.S. Senate? Maybe that's what this is all about. All right, got to take a break here, folks. We're going to your calls as well, 901-260-5926, and we'll be following the breaking news developments throughout the rest of this program. Again, 901-260-5926. Also, head over to ToddStearns.com, the Todd Stearns Christmas store, now open. Lots of great things for you to get your conservative loved ones, and you can do that during the break. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break for your top of the hour news. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a 70-year-old man. I'm not a young guy, and I'm an ex-athlete. Well, yeah, when I was taking it, I recognized that I was feeling better, you know what I'm saying? And just mentally knowing is important also.
I am a customer of you guys. I love your product. Love it, love it. Nothing but good things to say about your product. I love it. And as long as y'all are going to sell it, I'm going to take it as long as I can.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. For those of you just joining us, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And we've been following some breaking news coming out of Washington, where we just learned that Matt Gaetz, now the ex-congressman from Florida, has withdrawn his name from consideration to be President Trump's attorney general. This coming after meetings yesterday with senators. Also, while all that's happening, you've got these leaks coming out of the House Ethics Committee. Talk about unethical. Leaking this private report, investigative report on Matt Gaetz. Now, I want to say something about this before we go to the phone lines. And by the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. As it stands right now, Matt Gaetz has done nothing wrong. Nothing at all. Nothing criminal. He's never been charged with a crime. He has not been arrested. He has not been ordered to appear before court and before a judge in court. These are allegations that have been made. And by the way, all the allegations may be true, but you know what? The DOJ declined to prosecute. So until Matt Gaetz is actually arrested and charged with a crime, he's an innocent man. That's the way it's supposed to work in this country. But you've got a corrupt mainstream media, and they take allegations, they take rumor and innuendo, and they make that the God's honest truth. It doesn't matter what the truth is. The truth is irrelevant, right? Because now in this woke society, truth, you have your truth, I have my truth. There is no absolute truth. At least that's what they tell you. But I believe in absolute truth. And the reality is, out of all these horrible things, Matt Gaetz has never been accused of a crime. He's never been charged. Lots of accusations, no charges, no proof. And the same thing with Pete Hegseth. And let me say about Pete, you know, he's going to have some challenges coming through and answering those questions as well. But again, he was cleared of all wrongdoing. So why is there a story? The story is that a woman accused him, or that he paid this woman off, when the story should have been that the police said there was no wrongdoing. I want to make a recommendation to the men of America. Gentlemen, can I just talk to the men of the Todd Stearns audience, and especially all of you young guys out there, and maybe you're thinking about running for office. Maybe you want to have a career out there in Washington, D.C., in public service to your country. Keep your pants zipped up. Will you do that? Because when you go around and sleep with every girl that comes into the neighborhood, stuff like this happens. So the best way to avoid all of this, I mean, when you're looking at what happened to Matt Gaetz, when you're looking at the allegations against Pete Hegseth, which are not allegations, he readily admits he slept with this woman who was not his wife. Those are easily preventable scandals. You just honor your marriage vows, or you don't sleep around. It's really that simple. But again, that's not illegal. And I can promise you this, they're not the only ones on Capitol Hill doing that. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. David in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, David. What's your reaction?
Well, I'm upset about it, but can you clarify something? He just gave up his current seat. The next session is people take the oath of office on January 3rd. He won this election to be reseated January 3rd. So what he resigned this current seat. What prevents him from still taking the seat January 3rd?
So
he resigned this session of Congress is what I'm saying.
That is correct. So there's a little uncertainty there, and I suspect they're going to have to look through the finer points of the law. But he did resign. So he did step down. To your point, he won re-election. So let's wait and see how it plays out. Maybe he does go back to the House. I don't think he is. But regardless, Trump is playing some 4D chess here, David, and we don't know who the person that's coming up. And I suspect when it's all said and done, Gaetz was never really an authentic nominee. We're waiting for the guy Trump really wants in that position.
Well, here's a scenario. DeSantis names him the Rubio Senate spot, and then DeSantis becomes AG. That wouldn't be so bad. But besides that, about these rhinos in office, I didn't tell the screen I was going to say this, but about these rhinos in office, why does history hate Benedict Arnold more than Cornwallis? Because Cornwallis was doing his job as the enemy. He was doing the job of a soldier. The Benedict Arnolds of the world, we hate traitors much more, and history hates traitors much more than the quote-unquote enemy. I respect a Democrat who's stupid and liberal more, and who's just misguided more than I do somebody who's inside my own lines, so to speak, who's Keith Stabmus in the back. I have zero respect for these Republicans that are going against Donald Trump, and that's all I got to say about that.
1,000% accurate. David, I agree with you 1,000% on that, and I've said that many times on this show. That I don't agree with any single Democrat policy out there, not a one. But I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, when push comes to shove, you got to respect people that are going to deliver on their campaign promises. Democrats always do that. Republicans, not so much. Hang tight. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, folks, again, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight. Watch the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax. And by the way, if you missed any of the interviews on today's program, all you have to do is go to our website, toddstearns.com, and download our free podcast. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and let's say hello to Brooke Leslie Rollin, who is the CEO of America First Policy Institute. And Brooke, good to have you on the show today.
Well, Todd, I'm so happy to be with you from the great state of Texas.
You're good people down there in Texas, Brooke. So it's always a good day when you
agree with that. Yes.
Brooke, first, before we get into the president's cabinet, the big news coming out right now is that Matt Gaetz stepping down, and President Trump, very gracious and commending Matt. But what do you think's going on here? A lot of folks are saying 4D chess is at work right now.
Well, first of all, let me say that Matt Gaetz is a patriot. He is, you know, slightly out of the conventional box, the conventional Republican box, as we've watched him. But that is what the president and I and others love about him. I mean, he's just willing to run into the fire over and over and over again for his country. And so I think he saw that he was becoming a distraction. And I don't have any firsthand knowledge of this, but my speculation is that he saw it was he was becoming a distraction and realized he could probably serve the president in the America First agenda and our country in a different capacity than what maybe he thought of as AG. I will say this. The people that questioned the Matt Gaetz nomination, I would respond with this. President Trump had his home invaded, his closets turned inside out. He faced indictment after indictment, I think over 1,000 years in prison. He had his own DOJ hire Robert Mueller. So when people would say to me, what is President Trump thinking, you know, putting Matt Gaetz in that position, I would say, look what this man has been through. He's not looking for someone that will go in and shake hands and think about strategic plans for 2 years. He wants someone to go in and immediately clean out the rot. And I think he saw in Matt someone that could do that. And now he'll find the next person he thinks can do that.
And I have no doubt he will. Again, I've been labeling the cabinet the disruptors. These are people that are meant to go in and disrupt the way things have been done in Washington. And look, I think Gaetz, and I also think Gaetz is the victim of a very corrupt media that takes accusations and runs with that as the truth, as opposed to waiting until charges are filed. This man has not been charged of a crime. He's not been charged with a crime. And unfortunately, with the media, it's guilty before you even get arrested these days.
Well, listen, if you're a conservative and you're a warrior and you're outspoken and you're unwilling to bend, then they're going to do everything they can to silence you, right? I mean, certainly we saw that with President Trump. And I have been next to him. I was in his first White House for 3 years running his domestic policy agenda. I launched the America First Policy Institute with 9 of his former Trump cabinet members right after Biden was inaugurated in early 2021. We have been building for this moment for years now, and the American people were asked to speak up and vote, and my goodness, did they ever, just over 2 weeks ago. And now it's time, to your point, disrupt, transform, and save a country. But for those of us, including Utah, that are in that fire and are making the case, it's not a safe world out there. There are a lot of very powerful people, including the mainstream media, who want nothing to do with us and who want to silence us. But the encouraging thing here is, just as it was in 1776 when our founders were fighting for the freedom that we now enjoy today, that when God is on your side, when you're based on biblical foundations, when you're speaking the truth, I just don't think we can be defeated. And that's where I think everyone should be really encouraged.
Look, I'm with you. You're from Texas. I'm from Tennessee. When you got a bunch of Texans and Tennesseans, we stand up and fight. So we're
back to the beginning, back to the volunteers of 1836, when your people came to save my people against the tyranny of the Mexican army in Santa Ana. So I got you, Todd.
That's
it.
Yeah, we're all over that. You know, I am so impressed, though, with the picks. You know, Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, Tom Holman. Brooke, these are men, and you've got women in the mix, too, Linda McMahon. These are incredible people, Tulsi Gabbard, that are really going to do some incredible work for this country. And really, this is almost like a fixer-upper administration. We got to fix what is broken, and we've got to prepare for the future.
Well, listen, I call it the great pause, right? When I was in the last White House, we were preparing for a second term. We had the agenda already mapped out, organized, and ready to go on November 4th of 2020. When that election was taken from us, then began to pivot to, all right, well, how do we keep this momentum, the team, the ideas together? We know this will win elections. We know it will save a country. And again, I would never ask President Trump to go through what he's been through the last 4 years. But ultimately, maybe God had a plan, and that plan was to give our side the opportunity to prepare in a way that we have never been able to prepare before. And in so doing, not just putting those disruptors who are all amazing people and good friends of mine and ours and the whole movement, but to also prepare and have them ready with a plan, knowing exactly what they needed to do to execute on the America First agenda and on President Trump's vision. And so on day one, very unusual for our side, we've got hundreds of executive orders already drafted. We've got 150 federal agency plans already ready to go. The people that have been vetted, I mean, we've been doing this all very under the radar the last 3 or 4 years, but we're ready in a way that our side has never been prepared before. And what a blessing that is. So it's our moment, and we're going to meet it.
It's exciting. And I mean, look at what's happening with Hollywood. A lot of the stars are already leaving the country. The mass deportations have already started, and we haven't even had to spend any tax money on that. So
right.
It's kind of nice. Hey, what do you, there's a new Harvard Harris poll out. I just love this. The president's approval rating, 54%, and he hasn't even been sworn into office yet. I mean, these people, the American people are ready for a change.
They are. And what's really encouraging is it's not just the typical, you know, Todd, people like you and I that I would probably say we've been very blessed. You know, we don't ever worry about making our grocery bill, right? Or we don't have to worry about whether our kids go to a safe school. You and I are going to be fine. Even under a Harris regime, we would have survived. But the people who are living on the margins and from our disadvantaged communities, from the urban areas out to rural Texas and rural Tennessee, those are the Americans that will most prosper under a Trump-Vance administration. And those are the people that spoke loudly and clearly that the Democratic regime and the policies of more government, more welfare, it hurts all of us, but it hurts those with the least among us the most. And that's the mandate that President Trump was given. It was to fight for America. It was to fight for Americans first through an America First agenda. We'll save a country, but we'll also, I think there will be so much prosperity and opportunity for those who've never really had it, except maybe in the last Trump administration, but in a much longer term, more formidable way. And that's what I'm most excited about.
And when you look at the numbers, and the Republican Party should really pay attention to this. When people were going and voting, they were voting for Donald Trump and his agenda. And I think the Republicans need to really look at this America First movement, because it really was an election as much as I think it was the start of this America First movement, which really transcends what it meant to be a Republican a long time. It's almost like we've got a new party.
We do. It is similar to, you know, I compare it to the election of 1800 when you had Thomas Jefferson win. And this was after George Washington said he wasn't going to run again, which, you know, had never happened in the history of ever that someone in power, you know, walked away. But George Washington felt so strongly that if he didn't give up power, that America would one day turn into just another, you know, monarchy or dictatorship. And that's exactly opposite of what they had fought for. So in 1800, just a few years after that brand new republic based on freedom, that question was up again, and Thomas Jefferson won with the idea that he was there to only for a little bit, then he was going to go back to his farm. The next election, 1864, with Abraham Lincoln fighting for what was right in the unification of America and keeping it strong. Then you had the election in the 1920s with FDR, again, another inflection point in American history. Now, we just had another inflection point, Todd. Two Tuesdays ago, in 500 years, children sitting in their classrooms are going to be studying the election of Trump versus Harris and the inflection point where we had to choose between freedom or tyranny in a way that maybe our country has never faced before, back to the very beginning. And that's how important this election was. And when you have the Black, Hispanic, Jewish, high school educated, when we won women, no one thought that would happen. When you win the popular vote, when everything's against you, the mainstream media, the money, the big institutions, big corporations, big tech, when you not only win every swing state, but you win the popular vote, again, with everything kind of stacked against you, that is a remarkable turn of events. And
huge.
And it is such a historical moment for our country. What a blessing to get to live in the middle of making history, which is what you and I and your listeners are doing right now.
Brooke, we're going to have to leave it there. But folks, I want you to go to AmericaFirstPolicy.com and find out how you can get involved in this this movement, and they have state chapters, other ways for you to get involved, and all the information there at AmericaFirstPolicy.com. Brooke, we're coming up on a hard break here, and we really appreciate you coming on, and we'd love to get you back soon.
Listen, for my good friends in Tennessee, where you are, I will do anything, and obviously I know you have a huge audience, and really grateful for the opportunity. Thank you, Todd.
All right, thanks a lot, Brooke. Brooke Rollins, everybody, the CEO of America First Policy Institute, and it's really a who's who of the Trump team when you look at their great leadership. You've got Linda McMahon, Larry Kudlow. You mentioned Brooke, Chad Wolf. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Our good buddy Mark Lauder, and of course, Hogan Gidley. So a lot of good folks there. All right, hang tight. We've got to take a quick break. I promise we're going to get to the phones. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2, I'll be doing an in-depth dive into the breaking news. Of course, Matt Gaetz being withdrawing from the attorney general's race, the nomination there, and who Trump will be naming as a replacement. We'll be getting that intel very soon as well. By the way, if you haven't heard the news, Newsmax just filed to go public. They are now one of the nation's top news brands. President Trump among the big fans of Newsmax and what's happening there. And you can now get information on Newsmax's planned IPO, and you may be eligible to buy preferred shares in Newsmax before any IPO. We have that information for you at NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes magazine calling Newsmax a news powerhouse. So if you want to become a co-owner of Newsmax, all you have to do is go to NewsmaxInvest.com right now. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock. And Dalton, you've been making some headlines lately, especially in the aftermath of this huge port-a-john controversy in Wichita.
I know. I'm about done talking about porta-potties, where we spent $500,000 on two porta-potties. It's just asinine spending, honestly, insane. But I think people, and it highlights a bigger problem that we see at every level of government, is that we need to cut runaway spending, and we need to hold, you know, our institutions accountable, because that's taxpayer money. These institutions don't have money unless it's the taxpayers funding it.
Well, and exactly. And I know we have a lot of listeners in Wichita, KQAM, our great affiliate there. And the concern was, and the story of folks, just to bring you up to speed, the Wichita City Council, of which Dalton is a member, voted to spend well over $500,000 to buy two outdoor porta potties. That the average house in Wichita is about $197,000, and they're spending over $500,000 on two porta-johns. Dalton was the no vote on that expenditure. And Dalton, I understand that actually led to the creation of what I think is a pretty darn good idea, your own local version of the Department of Government Efficiency.
Well, what's super exciting about it, too, is, you know, I proposed the idea of having this advisory council that would just give me recommendations of what regulations to cut, what ordinances to cut, and to look at our budget. And I just thought I would get a few people that are interested. I've had over 40 people message me with an interest just in the past few days. And so it's going to look different than probably what I intended it to look like at the start, because there's so many people that want to be engaged in this process. And I think we need to figure out a way to empower all of our citizens to be engaged. And while I agree with maybe all of the recommendations, maybe no, or maybe there's context behind some of them, but I think that's what we should be doing for our communities, is empowering them to let their elected officials know what changes they want made.
So a couple of months ago in Memphis, for example, the mayor just announced and the city council passed a massive property tax increase. They said they needed the money for police and whatever, whatnot. Now the mayor's coming back and announcing, well, we need to create a new tax specifically for downtown Memphis. So anybody who lives downtown, or if you're a tourist, you're going to be taxed, on whatever you buy, whatever restaurant you go to or club you go to. And they're going to use that money for beautification, helping the homeless and security. And I think if you're a taxpayer in a city, whether it's Wichita or Memphis, you're saying, wait a second, what are you guys doing with the money you're already collecting?
Well, and people want to, you know, have the government focus on essential services. So police, fire, water, infrastructure. And especially when you're facing difficult times as cities, you need to rely on those core services of government as well, because those are things that people are relying on in property taxes.
I don't want to
have an argument about.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Todd.
Well, I don't want to catch you off guard here, but what would the budget for Wichita, Kansas be?
We have about $1 billion budget, rounded up. So about $1 billion operating every year. We have about $3 billion in our capital improvement plan. And so you're looking around $4 billion that every year the council allocates money towards. In some fashion or not, the capital improvement plan is over the course of 10 years, but it's allocation to plan for 10 years forward.
So you're digging into these numbers, and I have to imagine, are you finding the wasteful spending aside from the porta-johns?
100%. And I think, you know, who leads this at the federal level best is Rand Paul with his Festivus. And so as we're getting into the holiday season, it makes sense to be looking at these ridiculous ways that we're spending money in government. And the federal government has it, and we have it at every level of local government as well.
I'm curious, are you getting much blowback from your fellow council members?
I haven't heard opposition so far, and now that doesn't mean that's not coming, but I think all of us, and, you know, even regardless of our political ideologies or philosophies, want more citizen engagement. I mean, we all have different beliefs that we're taking, you know, to the bench. But my belief is I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm fiscally responsible. And so I want to bring that. And that's what my district wants. I think that's what the community wants. And I think that's what America wants.
Dalton Glasscock is a member of the Wichita City Council, a strong conservative and a fiscal conservative, and launching his own local version of the government, the Department of Government Efficiency. So you're going to get this advice from your constituents, and I'm wondering, at what point do you go to your fellow council members and say, you know what, we're spending, I don't know, $1 million on planting rhubarb or something, I don't know. At what point do you go and say, okay, we found a place that we're spending money that we don't need to be?
Well, I think toilets is, a really good example. I think, you know, our city was infused with $70 million of ARPA funding. And at this point, we're just trying to find ways to spend ARPA funding, which is not effective governance. And so, you know, if the federal government, they're spending more than $8,000 on a lobster tank in the Department of Defense, I'm sure that there are ways that the city is also spending money in equally ridiculous ways. And we have to hold our institutions accountable.
Wow. All right. So if people maybe listening to us, they think, wow, that's a good idea. Let's do one of those in our community. Is that something that other communities should consider doing?
I think every community should. Every level of government should. Every community should. And it should be citizen-led. Often you have staff recommendations that are coming before bodies of government. And so it's not citizens coming with what changes they want made. It's usually staff recommending changes. And I think we should empower the citizens. And the citizens should hold staff and their electeds accountable.
I mean, honestly, we do that even on the local and, you know, in the privately owned business sector. Over the years, you have things and maybe they're on auto pay and you don't use them anymore and you forget about it. But I think it's good every year to go back and make sure, you know, that there's not any wasteful spending. And if we're going to do that in our own private business, we ought to expect that in our government as well.
100%. And that's why I can't wait, I think, for Rand Paul's Festivus report so Americans can see what money has been spent in the federal government this past year and what reforms we need to make federally. And I think the Department of Government Efficiency will find plenty more of those across the country.
All right, folks, if you are interested in starting your own local government of Department of Government Efficiency, Dalton, where can they reach you and get more information?
Yeah, you can go to daltonglasscock.com. I'll have more information there and have contact information. And this is adaptive, and so I'm interested if there are communities that do this as well. And I think conservatives, especially in local government, should collaborate and make sure that we're pushing similar policies across the country.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific idea. Dalton, again, folks, daltonglasscock.com if you want to get information on how you might be able to start one of these in your local town, your local community and city. Dalton, got to leave it there. Thank you, sir.
Talk soon.
All right. There you go. So great idea. And what better way? And we are going to be looking at Rand Paul's annual Festivus report. That normally comes out in December, and we'll get the lowdown there. All right, let's try to work in a phone call real quick here. Let's say hello to Mike in Portland, Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Well, Todd, we could sure use more people like Brooke in America First.
Wow, she is great. Yes.
Yeah, she sure is. Look, I think the Gates situation is what we're having here is they have gone from lawfare to sex bear. That's the Democrats' new thing, and the rhinos. But I think we have a nominee that we can nominate that would fly through. Her name is Pam Bondi. She was the former attorney general of the state of Florida. Now, this girl is tough. She's a good friend of Trump and loyal. And I don't think she has any NDAs in her background. Now, if NDAs are going to be the new standard, we can recess Congress right now, and we can recess Wall Street and the mainstream media above all. So, you know, how many non-disclosures are signed every day in this country? If that's going to be the standard, we're in trouble.
A 1,000%. And, Mike, I still believe that we need to know who's getting the hush money payments, because that money is our money. That's coming out of our pockets. And if you've got a senator or a congressman up there and he's doing inappropriate things with the interns, male or female, I think we need to know about that.
Yeah, I'd like to know where, I can't see why that list won't be released.
Let's have full disclosure.
If it's good for one, it's good for all.
That's it. I'm with you 1,000%. All right, Mike, good call. And, folks, now is a great time to remind you, if you haven't done so, download the Todd Stern Show app. You can do that at kwamradio.com, kwamradio.com. Download the app, and you'll be able to listen to my show whenever you want to. You can listen to it live, or you can snag our podcast. All right, again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926, going right to your calls next. All right, interesting story from Newsweek. Donald Trump's favorability surges by nearly 20 points with young Americans. The writer, Jesus, oh, that's Jesus, my apologies there, Jesus Mesa. Sorry about that, Jesus. According to the Newsmax report, President Trump has experienced a significant boost in favorability among young Americans. That's according to a recent YouGov poll conducted from November 17th to 19th. The survey reveals 57% of Americans aged 18 to 29 now hold a favorable view of Trump. That is a net increase of 19 points since the YouGov poll on November the 9th and the 12th. His favorability remains lower among women and older voters, but his gains in the 18 to 29-year-old group, and by the way, that's that Generation Z we talk about, that accounted for 16% of the 2024 electorate. That's pretty massive, ladies and gentlemen. So why do you think that is? Why do you think that young people were attracted to Donald Trump? According to Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, quote, young people carried President Trump to victory. Make no mistake, a profound and historic generational realignment is underway. I see that. It's this generation, and I grew up during the Reagan years. And Ronald Reagan really got me involved in politics. He got me turned on to politics as a kid, as a young teenager. And I believe that years from now, we're going to be talking to a lot of movers and shakers in our political system that came of age during the Trump campaign. And I truly believe this is going to reshape the country. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Barron Trump also played a major role in reaching younger voters and especially targeted a younger, predominantly male audience. The president's edge among young voters has been credited to his campaign's strategic focus on connecting with younger audiences through non-traditional media. That would be, you know, the Joe Rogan podcast, which, by the way, Kamala Harris simply refused. Simply refused. But it wasn't just Joe Rogan. He was doing Theo Vaughn's show, Aiden Ross, Logan Paul, Tim Pool, the Nelk Boys, the Todd Stern show. And, of course, he did that huge podcast-style interview with Elon Musk on X. But I think the Joe Rogan experience really compelled younger guys to get out there and say, you know what, we got to get involved in politics again. We got to do that. This story, Trump Jr. hails new cultural movement as athletes imitate the Trump dance. Don Jr. believes his father has set in motion a new cultural movement. And he is referring to all the professional athletes that are doing the president's signature dance move there. And we saw this in the NFL. By the way, the NFL announcing earlier this week, they will not punish any NFL players who do the Trump dance. Well, thank you for that. I'm not quite sure that was going to stop the players from doing it. You score a touchdown, you're in the end zone, and you're doing the Trump dance to a YMCA. As a matter of fact, what is it? John Jones, when he defended his heavyweight title at the UFC match in Madison Square Garden, he won and he started doing the Trump move. Is it officially called the Trump dance? I'm told by my team it's officially called the Trump dance now. So there you go. The guy is iconic. What can you say? Well done, President Trump. Don Jr. says, we're in the middle of a new MAGA cultural movement. Talking about RFK Jr., Elon Musk, Mike Johnson, eating the McDonald's. I guess Trump has actually made eating a McDonald's great again. The fries, I've noticed, are always hotter now with a dash more salt. That's the Trump effect. And the rumor is that Trump is going to, maybe this will be something he orders the government to do. I don't know, but they're going to fix those ice cream machines over at McDonald's. That'll be a great thing as well. So there you go. Good for you, Don Trump Jr. Good for you, President Trump. And I do believe, going back to Brooke Rollins from the America First Policy Institute, I think that we are now in the midst of a movement that is unlike any other we have seen in modern American history. And when you look at how Donald Trump is going to downsize the federal government, you are going to be dancing in the streets. We're all going to be doing the Trump dance. And if Donald Trump is able to follow through on the tariffs, folks, hear me on this. Donald Trump floated the idea of eliminating the income tax. And if he does that, it is going to be a great day in America. A lot of people think that we've had the income tax since we started the country. That's not true. 1913, that's when the income tax initially started. All right, got to take a break here, folks. My apologies there. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Our website is toddstearns.com. A lot of great info there for you. Coming up, Lee Greenwood is going to drop by. God bless the USA, back at the top of the charts. We'll talk about that coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. President Roosevelt first declared National Bible Week in 1941 during World War II. At this time, the National Bible Association read passages on the air at NBC between radio broadcasts to encourage the nation during a time of war and trouble. National Bible Week celebrates the reading of scriptures. Each year, church leaders encourage reading, listening, and studying the Bible. Church groups will hold events throughout the week. It's an ideal time for families and individuals to share their faith with each other, share their favorite verses, and pray together. All Americans need a Bible in their home.
Yes, they do. And thank you, Mr. President-elect, for that. Donald Trump, by the way, this is National Bible Week, November 17th through the 24th. And our next guest, he's a big fan of the Bible. He's a big fan of America, and he's a big fan of President Donald J. Trump. Want to welcome back to the show our good friend Lee Greenwood. Lee, good to have you back with us. Hope you're doing great.
Thank you, Todd, and happy Thanksgiving. And I am doing great.
You know, this is so exciting that, you know, we have a president like Donald Trump who is out there and he's encouraging people to read their Bible, which I think is one of the reasons they love attacking him in the media, is that President Trump understands that we need to be reading our Bibles as Americans.
Well, we need faith, first of all. And, of course, faith induces prayer. And you'll find so many prayers in the Bible that are very effective in our personal lives. There's so many things kids have to learn to be a patriot. And one of those things, I think, that you have to turn to faith when all else seems impossible.
It does. And I know a lot of folks in our audience, they not only have Bibles, they read their Bibles, and you know that's a part of their daily life. And by the way, folks, if you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you to get the God Bless the USA Bible. And you can do that by going to GodBlessTheUSABible.com. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But Lee, it's so important that we're teaching the young people of America who we are as a people and why we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
I don't want that to slip away either. And I can think you get right down to the core of it. You know, we're a free nation because we fought for it.
Yeah.
So first of all, you have to remember our veterans, those who have paid the price in all wars. And of course, we almost lost this nation at Fort McHenry, and we have the Star Spangled Banner to prove that that night did exist. And then we fought ourselves in the Civil War to find out who we were. And both sides were Christians. Both sides had the Bible. So now here we are as one nation, and then we've been attacked by others. So we do have to put our best foot forward. And one of those ways, of course, is let them know we really haven't changed in 200 and some years. We are still Christian, and we still have a Bible, and we still have faith. And I just hope people do go and look at our version of the Bible, the God Bless USA Bible, the King James Version. And the reason it's important, I think, to notice this particular Bible is because we contain the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. Three documents that are very important in our nation's history. I also included the Pledge of Allegiance and, of course, my own handwritten version of the chorus of God Bless USA. That's why we call it the God Bless USA Bible.
I love it, and I've got a copy, and it's just so well done, and it's beautiful. And, again, I think sitting down, I can imagine families sitting down and reading the Bible together, having those family Bible studies. But also, you know, we've encouraged moms and dads, Lee, and listening to this show, to teach their kids about American history, teach their kids about the Bill of Rights, because they may not be learning that in their local schools.
No, they won't. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you can find it under glass somewhere, but you can't handle it. And the last time I went to church with our sons, they're 29 and 26, and even maybe 3 or 4 years ago, they've been at college and away from home. And we see each other at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving to you, Todd. Was that my son whipped? I said, "Where's your Bible?" And he whipped out his phone. He said, "It's here." I said, "Well, that's not a Bible." He said, and then he showed me the readings we were doing with the pastor. I said, "Well, that's interesting." I said, "But you can't hold it." And he said, "Well, yeah, it is a little different if I can hold it and read it." And I said, "Well, don't take the digital age and think that that's faith. Touch the word of God on a book. It's more important."
I completely agree with that. Lee Greenwood is with us, ladies and gentlemen. GodBlessTheUSABible.com. And, you know, you were on just a couple of weeks ago. We were really celebrating the release of the new rock version of God Bless the USA. And 2024 is, of course, the 40th anniversary. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, to tell you the truth. When I go all the way back to when I lived in Nevada, and I came to Nashville, Tennessee in 1979 and started my country music career, my background really was rhythm and blues and jazz and rock. I mean, I lived through the Beatle area. Come on, you know, I have to have rock in my soul. And so when I got to Nashville and country music began my mantra, I had to change the way I presented myself. But it is no surprise that we come with a rock version of God Bless USA sooner or later. And I want to thank Drew Jacobs from Detroit who made the track for me. And we sang it together in the studio. It was pretty cool. My kids love it as well, by the way.
It's pretty awesome. And I know it lit up our phone lines when we played that. People were really, really excited about it. And again, not only is that song 40 years old, but it's also back at the top of the charts.
Yeah, it is. That's hard to believe. The one chart we hadn't been on was the rock charts. Even after 9/11, we were on all charts except rock. And I think there's just some resistance to that because they don't want to be identified with the twang of country music. But you know what? This is not country music, and there's no twang in this. This rock version of God Bless USA is stunning, and it really moves along with the culture. And that's how America changes. The next generation changes because they want a different sound, a different feel. And guess what? The USA thing went top the charts. It's number one this week.
You see, that's amazing, and it's really a testament to you and the song, and it's a beautiful song. And I was curious. I know it's typically associated with Republican campaigns. Anywhere along the way, has a Democrat reached out and said, hey, can we play your song, or could you come and do a Democrat rally or anything?
Only once in my career, living in Tennessee, Bob Clement, who was a congressman there, I sang for him several times. And I was proud to do so because he supported the music industry in Tennessee.
Yeah, and really, at that time, I think even the Democrats in Tennessee were kind of really Republicans. So.
Well, anybody in Tennessee is going to vote for Trump, so I tend to agree with you. They're moderates.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's the only thing, you know, I can remember. The rest of everybody is conservative.
LeeGreenwood.com, ladies and gentlemen, is the website. And go check out all of the great projects Lee's a part of and events, all sorts of things there. LeeGreenwood.com. You know, Lee, you mentioned Thanksgiving, and a lot of folks are going to be traveling, heading out, going home, and being around the table. I'm just curious, what is it that you're thankful for this year?
Well, I'm thankful for the country. I'm thankful for our soldiers who have paid the price for our freedom. I'm thankful for President Trump, who, first of all, stepped forward and held up the God Bless USA Bible and said, I am a man of God, I am a man of faith. You know, the country needed to hear that. I don't know that they'd ever heard it from him before. But when he did that, it's like, oh, I think he won over the evangelical crowd because they wanted to know whether or not he prays to a higher authority than himself. And I'm proud of him for doing that.
Well said. Well, Lee, are you going to be out on the road? What do you have planned for the holiday?
My wife and I are going to Milwaukee to dedicate the USS Beloit on Saturday, which is a new warship dedicated to Beloit, Wisconsin, where my sponsor is, my tour sponsor, and that's ABC Supply. So I'll give them a little plug. And then I'm going to meet my kids in Knoxville, and we're going to spend Thanksgiving with my wife's brother.
Wonderful. Well, Lee, God bless you, and we just love having you on the show, and congratulations on the great success of God Bless the USA.
Well, thank you, Todd, and great. Have a great Thanksgiving with your family.
Thanks a lot, Lee. Lee Greenwood, everybody, and you got to go check out that song. It's the new rock version of God Bless the USA. Go to LeeGreenwood.com, and you'll be able to find all that information. And also, it's National Bible Week, so be sure to read your Bible. What a great time to start doing that. National Bible Week. All right, we've got to take a quick break. You know, Lee asked a question. What are you thankful for this year? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I've been following the trial of Daniel Penny, this guy's 26 years old. He's the Marine veteran. He was on the subway in New York City, and some lunatic by the name of Jordan Neely started threatening to kill people and to kill everybody on the subway train. And so instead of running away, Mr. Penny, age 26, from Long Island, New York, did what any red-blooded American Marine would do. He intervened, and he came up behind the guy to stop him from harming the women and the children on the subway car. I want to play a little bit of audio here. This is body cam footage of – this is audio from body cam footage from the NYPD, and these are witnesses. And you're going to hear these ladies talking about what Mr. Penny did. Now, the Jordan Neely, who was completely drugged out, ended up dying. And now the 26-year-old is being charged with his murder. And the reason why is because you've got a radical district attorney named Alvin Bragg. And instead of giving this guy some sort of a medal because he's a hero, he faces up to 15 years in prison. So here's the eyewitness account of what happened in that subway car.
The whole train was freaked out. He was going to, like, pull a gun and knife.
He said, "I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. You know, I'm willing to get killed."
Hey, you're going to get a name and a phone.
Witness. Tony, the level one of Central. Tampa, all my head is still in control.
The guy in the tan did take him down, like, very respectfully and just, like, held him down.
Yeah, he was like, he was just like, I think that the guy is totally drunk down.
There's two young ladies right here.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you see?
What did I see? I was sitting over there, I heard the young man that's on the floor saying, you know, "Hey, I'm willing to die, you know? I'll do anything. I'm willing to die. I'll go to jail. I don't care. I don't care." And he was saying it so loud that everyone turned around. So this young man, he got belligerent, and he tackled him down. The one who just passed away in the brown jacket, the one who just went past.
The guy with the brown jacket took him to the ground.
Yeah, he took him to the ground and gave him a chokehold. Not a hard chokehold, just enough to secure him. And the guy fought. And he kept holding him. All right? And then that's when everybody totally realized what was going on. And I think this guy is on drugs.
So you get an idea of what was happening there. And everybody on that train said that Daniel Penny behaved like a hero and saved everybody from what could have been a very dangerous and deadly situation. So then they bring him in for interrogation. So the NYPD, you're going to be hearing, these are NYPD detectives, and they're actually interrogating Daniel Perry.
Yeah. You served in the Marine Corps, Daniel?
I did, yes.
I served in the Marine Corps.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Got my little death before this on attack.
There you go. Nice, man.
What you doing? What was your MOS number?
I was in 0351.
I was an 0331.
Oh, cool. Machine gun. Weapons platoon. Yeah. Nice, man. Yeah.
I was not military, so I don't know what that stuff is.
It's like another language.
3rd Battalion, 6th Marines.
Okay, there you go. 3
6. 96 to 2000.
Nice, man.
Two med floats. Did my thing, and then I ended up here. Now I got close to 22 years here now, man.
Good pension.
Yeah, man.
I grew up in Queens as well.
Nice.
Anyway, listen, Daniel, so we want to talk to you about what happened today.
Sure.
You know, thank you for sticking around.
Yeah.
And being cooperative.
Absolutely.
And we were all serving in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
But anyway, before we speak to you about today, we have to read you your rights.
Sure, okay? Absolutely.
So kind of run with me and Detective Medina, you know, the course of your day.
Absolutely. So I have class down in Brooklyn. I take the F down to J Street Metro Tech. My class is at 12. So once the class finished up, I was going straight to the gym. I go to the gym in Lifetime on 23rd Street. So I get off. I take the F straight from school to the gym. Mm-hmm. Was on there. I forget what stop it was at, but some guy came in. He's like, whipped his jacket off, and he's like, "I'm gonna kill everybody. I can go to prison forever. I don't care. I don't do this." At that point, I looked to the person next to me like, "Hey, just hang on to this phone for me." I had my headphones in, took it off, and just kind of like grabbed him from behind.
Now explain the interaction you had with him.
So I came up, he was had his back turned to me, and I just kind of got him in a hold, got him to the ground. He's still like squirming around and still, you know, going crazy. And I turned to a guy, I'm like, "Hey, call the cops," because the train arrived in Broadway.
Yeah.
And then waited for you guys.
So he says, you know, if I don't get this, I'm going to kill everyone. Something
go to jail forever. Yeah. I'm willing to.
Is it at that point that's when you get up and decide to put him in the hold? Right. Because it looks like a sleeper hold to me. Like,
right,
something
yeah.
similar. Like,
I'm not trying to kill the guy.
Right.
I'm just trying to de-escalate the situation, right?
Explain to me what made you want to get involved? What made you...
Well, I mean, he's threatening people, mm-hmm. and, like, I'm not confrontational, not a confrontational guy. In the Marine Corps, I felt the need to step in. Yeah. There's women, children on the train. I'm sure there's ladies there that yeah. will vouch for me. And,
He felt like he was threatening other people. You felt like...
Oh, he was absolutely...
Did you feel like someone's life was in danger?
100%.
Okay.
So there you go. That was the interrogation. And when you listen to see how the detectives, I'm not attacking the detectives at all. They have a job to do. But I'm telling you, they were trying to lead this guy down a path where he would admit to doing something, to intentionally killing this guy, which he did not do. I just want to say something here. If you are arrested and they say, we need to read you your rights, at that point, you need to say, I want an attorney. You saw what they were trying to do with the guy. They were trying to butter him up. Oh, yeah, you know, I served in the Marine Corps, too. I was with this platoon, and I did this and that. And you know what Daniel Penny should have said at that point is, you know what? What a coincidence. My attorney was in the Marines, too. Let's get him on the line. Let's bring him in here. Folks, I'm telling you, never, ever talk to law enforcement without an attorney. When you watch the entire interrogation here of this guy, it will disgust you because you see exactly what they're trying to do here. By the way, earlier today during testimony, a doctor from the New York City Medical Examiner's office said that the chokehold did not cause Jordan Neely's death. Now, it just seems to me that this guy, Daniel Penny, is a hero. He was trained as a Marine to respond in the moment of danger. And that's exactly what he did here. And now to be punished, I mean, the guy's, he's been arrested, he's been charged, his whole family's there. I mean, this is a good and decent man. Every single eyewitness said the exact same thing, defending this guy. And yet you've got Alvin Bragg out there, and Alvin Bragg only has two goals, to go after Donald Trump and to go after this young Marine. But I'm telling you, folks, you sit down. The guy's biggest mistake was talking to the cops. He should have kept his mouth shut, and he should have asked for an attorney. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's our number. Head over to the website, toddstarnes.com. Grab yourself one of our great podcasts free of charge. Also, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That comes out every day as well. We'll be right back, folks. So yesterday on Capitol Hill, there was a big hullabaloo, and it was a knockdown dragout during a House committee. So the House, it wants to abolish DEI policy in the federal government, within the federal government. In other words, the Republicans believe that future government workers should be hired based on their abilities and not their skin color or their status in the alphabet activist world. And that has caused all sorts of chaos. We played a little bit of audio yesterday from Jasmine Crockett, the Congress gal from Texas. She is a Democrat, and she was enraged. And she was out there saying that all of you white people, you're oppressing people, and she didn't ask to come to this country. You know, she was dragged over. And okay, well, if you really feel that way, then you should resign your post, go home, pack your bags, and head to, I don't know, Gaza, Tehran, Baghdad, wherever you would feel comfortable. That's no problem at all. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. So we have some new audio because Congressman Clay Higgins was saying, well, wait a second, this is wrong. And Higgins quoted from Martin Luther King Jr., which apparently is now a big no-no because Clay Higgins is a white guy And Congress gal Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts took great offense that he would dare to quote MLK. Take a listen to what happened.
And I'd also just like to take a personal note of privilege to say, please keep Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s name out of your mouths. Yes. Your perversion of his words and his mission, when his children have asked you to stop invoking his name and perverting his work when he was a proud and unapologetic black man fighting for equality for black Americans and all marginalized people. So you all are entitled to your opinions, but not a denial of the facts. But I'm not surprised that you would deny American history. A colleague across the aisle invoked the phrase of, we must do everything to stop government-sponsored oppression. Well, I've just enumerated numerous examples, which is exactly why we have legislation and an executive order to reverse this harm. And that is why I'm committed to opposing this bill and urge my colleagues to do the same.
I thank my colleague, and I appreciate my Democrat colleague for exemplifying exactly the kind of oppression of freedoms that we're referencing. How about we'll quote whoever we want to quote? How about that's my First Amendment right? That's exactly the kind of baked-in oppression. Like, how dare a white Republican quote Martin Luther King? We actually had a congressman say that just now in this committee. Well, and thank you, good lady, for once again exemplifying the type of oppression that we stand against. You know I'm right. You know I'm right.
Order. Order. Mr. Higgins has the floor.
And we will quote who we please to quote.
A disgrace.
And we will continue to speak freely because now I'm a veteran. That's the country that I serve. That's the Constitution I swore allegiance to. And that oath has no expiration date. I will fight for it with my last life's blood. For my right to speak freely and yours, good lady. You will never hear me saying, how dare you quote anybody you please to quote.
Uh-oh.
And that exemplifies America. Precisely the type of institutional oppression that my colleague, Mr. Cloud's bill, for which I'm an original co-sponsor, hopes to push back against.
Wow. Okay. There you go. Way to go. Way to go, Congressman Higgins. And look, this is how you have to deal with people like AOC and Ayanna Pressley and Jasmine Crockett. And you saw how inconsiderate. Did you hear Clay Higgins interrupting her when she was screaming, screeching, going hysterical? No, not at all. But when he started talking, you see, the left, they try to shut you up. But I want to talk about, she mentioned American history. We need to talk about American history for just a moment here. Because the reality is very different than what I guess maybe they're teaching the kids in school these days. The reality is it was a bunch of white dudes who fought in a war to make sure that slaves were freed. Tens of thousands of white dudes, to be exact. Tens of thousands. It was a white man who signed the Emancipation Proclamation, a white Republican, by the way, who signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And in the 1960s, it happened to be white Republicans who were fighting black Democrats over civil rights. And it was the white Republicans who stood up in a moment, an important moment in American history, and said, we need the civil rights legislation. We need to ensure that all Americans are able to vote, regardless of their skin color. Those were white guys who did that, Ayanna Pressley. Just want to throw that out there. And I would say this, and what triggered them, by the way, was somebody quoted Martin Luther King Jr. when he said he had a dream that one day his children would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. We have heard that over and over again. That's what set everybody off. But there's a lot of truth there. And I believe that if MLK Jr. were alive today, that he would be staunchly opposed to the DEI policies, because the DEI policies upend this idea of just having the best person for the job. DEI says, no, if you hire a black person, you got to hire an Asian person. If you hire an Asian person, you got to hire a Hispanic person. That's what DEI is. They're not looking for the best. They're out there meeting some sort of a race or gender quota. And that's un-American. I'm just telling you. But again, I'm a white guy, so what do I know? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Meanwhile, MSD and C staffers are in a panic big time. So Comcast is the parent company. So they own NBC, MSDNC, CNBC, lots of other things. And they're about to spin off MSDNC. And why is that? Because they're losing tons of money. They've already lost over half of their audience. Why do you think Joe and Mika went down to Mar-a-Lago to beg Trump to save their jobs? It's not good. According to this report from Alexandra Steingrad, panic engulfed MSDNC headquarters Wednesday after Comcast confirmed a massive spinoff, with the top executive even suggesting the left-leaning network may be forced to change its name. Rachel Maddow, Katie Turr, among others, were in this meeting at 30 Rock in Midtown, New York City. Staffers fear looming layoffs. And people are now wondering if they're going to have to change addresses, if they're going to change the logo, change the name. A lot of unknown questions and a lot of very nervous people over there. And the reality is this, ladies and gentlemen, MSNBC killed itself. They did. All they needed to do was hire a couple of conservatives, and they might have been able to survive, but that's the reality of it all. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, there is some reporting out there now that Gates did not have the support from at least four U.S. senators on the Republican side of the aisle. So, including Susan Collins of the great state of Maine. So if that's the case, then, that could have been a big issue. So again, Murkowski, also Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins among the four that we've heard of. They're mentioning Mitch McConnell and John Curtis of Utah, rounding out the four senators who are going to be no votes in the confirmation of Matt Gaetz. All right, let's go to the phone lines. John in Kentucky. Hi, John. What say you?
Hey there, Mr. Stearns. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to say I hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. And the reason, you know, like those four senators, to me, they're cockroaches, okay? Because Matt Gaetz was probably an excellent selection. Because I don't know if you noticed, but the moment that President Trump mentioned his name, you had bureaucrats looking for other jobs, sending out their resumes, seeking out legal attorneys and everything else. So in all honesty, you remember scripturally saying, when light shines on evil, evil flees. And that's exactly what was happening. So honestly, I think Matt Gaetz would have been a great attorney general. And my son and I were talking about it. If he wouldn't have won his election in Texas, I think Senator Cruz would have been a really, really good selection, because he would have taken and kicked butt and take names. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah,
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, John, and thank you for holding on. And, yeah, I mean, Ted Cruz would have been a great guy, but, of course, he won re-election. By the way, this is fascinating. So Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, they actually voted to confirm Rachel Levine, that big dude in the dress, for Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services. So you're telling me that Rachel Levine gets their vote, but Matt Gaetz does not? Come on. Come on. CNN reporting now, by the way, the resignation comes while they were about ready to publish an expose on Gaetz. I don't believe it. Again, if there are criminal charges, let's have a conversation. Otherwise, it's all conjecture. It's all rumor and innuendo. And that doesn't hold up in a court of law. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Norma on the line. Hi, Norma. What's on your mind?
Well, afternoon, Todd. I just got in on the last part of that. Was it a congresswoman that was flying all over the place with her mouth?
Oh, yes. Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts.
Oh, well, that figures. My comment there is that, you know, Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah and a few others need to inform her that there were women slave owners. She can look that up. There were a lot of them. In fact, one of them had 17,000 acres. A lot of them were in Louisiana. And I don't understand how this works. There's been no movies about black women being slave owners. And all the information that's out there, she needs to educate herself. That's my only comment to that situation.
Well, and Norma, let me jump in here. And it's not just women. There were also blacks, including mixed race slaveholders in the South. So you had blacks that had slaves, and you can Google that, ladies and gentlemen. Not going to. All that to say, I believe that slavery is a god-awful sin, and I am glad that a war was fought and the Emancipation Proclamation was declared. But Norma, we got to cover the whole history, right?
That's exactly right, and it's never touched at all. So I'm not for any reparations. I'm not for any guilt. All I'm for is let's be Americans and get through this junk we've been having to put up with and get the record back to America again.
I like the way. And Norma, just for the record, do you currently own any slaves, Norma?
You know what? My great-grandfather fought in the Civil War. My grandfather, World War One.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. All of my family, including my dad and my husband. So we never had any slaves. We didn't have time for that. We wouldn't have had one anyway. We were so poor.
I hear you. Same here with the Stearns family. But the point of the matter is, if you listen to Ayanna Pressley and Jasmine Crockett and all these other folks out there, and these are all professional race agitators, they would have you believe that slavery is still a thing here in the United States of America. And the reality is it was abolished, and we should be celebrating that. We should be telling our history, but we should be telling all of our history. And we also need to be telling the part of the history about who in Africa was actually sending their own people into slavery. So those things sort of get lost because they don't think it's politically correct to talk about. But, you know, we're not a very politically correct show here. So we like to tell it all. Norma, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. And I appreciate that thought. But it's true, right? So look, where does all of this leave going back to Matt Gaetz? There are a lot of unknowns here, folks, a lot of unknowns. There is some, and we had a previous caller mention this. Could Matt Gaetz actually go back to Congress? Because, yes, he resigned from this Congress, but the new Congress convenes in January, and he was reelected to that Congress. So will Matt Gaetz return to the House of Representatives? We shall find out, but it will be very intriguing to see how this plays out. And if, in fact, the story is true, these four senators were no votes, we've got a big problem on our hands, folks. I'm telling you, we're going to have a problem with this Republican-controlled Senate. All right, tonight coming up, we're going to be talking about some good, great stuff over on Newsmax. We were scheduled to have the House Freedom Caucus chair join us, but they are pulling the plug. I think everybody's running for cover after the Gaetz announcement, and but we're still going to do a deep dive in all of that. Also, we're going to be talking about this story out of UCLA. The University of California, Los Angeles is going through a pronoun crisis. They are posting statements all over dorm rooms, urging students to respect diversity and avoid using terms like freshmen and guys. So you can't use those words anymore. Students have also been told that all conversations with classmates should start with a clarification of preferred pronouns. So, for example, they're like, you can't just go up to somebody like, hey, man, how's it going? You got to go, hey there, what is your preferred pronoun? And then once you glean that information, you will be able to continue on with your conversation. So UCLA recently hosted a workshop. It was called Pronouns Matter. So he and she are no longer it. So, right? So you can't use he or she anymore. Instead, UCLA is now advocating for more inclusive language, and they're introducing a whole new set of pronouns, and I have them here. The first set is called fae, fair, fairs. That's F-A-E, F-A-E-R, F-A-E-R-S. And then there are people called the, ver, and vers. That's V-E-R, V as in Victor. And then the last set of new pronouns, these people are called Z, Zim, and Zers. And that's X-E, X-E-M, X-Y-R-S. It's just all make-believe. That's literally what they're doing. They're just making all of this up as they go along. Anyway, the good news here, folks, there is a survey out from Public Policy Research Poll. 65% of Americans say there are only two genders. Now, the concerning thing is that there are still 35% of people in the United States of America that believe you can self-identify as a guy, a gal, a horse, or an azalea bush. Yeah, that's not good. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. It's been a great day. Thank you for spending 3 hours with us today. Head over to the website, check out our stories. We're going to be back here tomorrow, noon Eastern. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.